For this morning's lesson, go ahead, Jay, and put the first slide up for me. I have to give thanks to Brother Dick Craig at South Valley Church in Las Vegas, because about a month or so ago, he presented a lesson on Romans chapter 12, and he went through the entire chapter, but I only got as far as the first 8 verses, because something struck me as we were reading those verses and as Brother Dick was talking about them, and I was sitting there with my phone out typing notes to myself, thinking, oh, this is going to be a good lesson. And I'm sure he looked over and thought, what in the world is he doing texting in the middle of the sermon? And I did hear the rest of the sermon, but I focused on this because one of the wonderful things, and we've talked about this before, one of the wonderful things about Scripture is that you can read a passage of Scripture dozens, even hundreds of times, and come to it yet again and find things there that you never thought about before. And that's what the Hebrew writer is talking about in Hebrews chapter 4 when he talks about the Word of God being living and active. That the Word is alive. It's not just, you know, printed stuff on a page. And when we come to it, every time we open it, we are a different person than we were the last time we were there. And so it interacts with us in different ways. And so even though I am very familiar with Romans chapter 12, that night as Brother Dick presented a lesson from this chapter, it struck me in a way that it had never had before, or at least I thought about some things that I hadn't thought about before. And so that's what brings us to the lesson today, because we are going to talk about, which seems appropriate for this time of year, we're going to talk about gifts. Because at this time of year, we think a lot about gifts. You know, we just, in the video that Nathaniel showed earlier, you know, it talked about God's gift to us, you know, and in the person of Christ. And then, of course, we give gifts to one another in celebration, and we look back and we think about, you know, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I don't know if you've ever given anybody gold or frankincense or myrrh at Christmas. I know if you gave somebody gold, it wasn't me. And to be perfectly honest, I'm not crazy about the smell of frankincense, so I'm just as well not getting that. But we do give each other gifts in that way. And of course, God's gift to us, His only begotten Son, our Savior in the person of Christ. But this morning, we want to think about gifts in just a slightly different way. And that's going to invite us to think about different gifts, which brings us to Romans chapter 12, where the Apostle Paul, beginning at the 3rd verse, says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy according to your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully." Paul begins this section by talking about grace. He says, by the grace given me, I say to every one of you. You know, we've talked before about grace being one side of a two-sided coin. That grace is the side on which we see an undeserved gift. That's literally what grace is. It's a gift that the recipient does not deserve. And the other side of that coin, of course, is mercy, which is not receiving the consequences that we do deserve. But Paul, in talking about grace, talks about the grace that was given to him. And if we talk about grace being something undeserved, we realize that the man writing these words did not deserve gifts. Because even though at that moment we see him as the Apostle Paul, we remember when he was Saul of Tarsus. We remember when he was the one who stood by and watched over the garments of those who beat with stones a good man named Stephen to death. We remember the Saul of Tarsus who went to the leaders of his people and received authority to put those who named the name of Jesus Christ into prison. Who received authority from the leaders of his people even to go to foreign cities and find disciples of Jesus and put them in chains and drag them back to Jerusalem where they would be imprisoned and in some cases executed. By his own admission, Paul, writing years later to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 13, would say, I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man. Yet I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. Here was a man who by any stretch of the imagination did not deserve gifts from God. And yet he says, by the grace given to me, what he did not deserve, Saul, later Paul, was given by God. And by that grace, he says, I say to every one of you. So Paul, having received a gift that he did not deserve, sought to impart a gift to the Christians in Rome and by extension to us, by the things that he would write. And he goes on to say, as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so we in Christ, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Paul reminds them that they are all different. All of the Christians in Rome were different. They were part of one body, but they were not the same person. They had different functions, just as the parts of the human body have different functions. And that they were connected to all of the other parts of the body, even as the parts of our own bodies are all connected one to the other. And so he says we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. Like Paul, we all have, by grace, received gifts we do not deserve. And our gifts, unlike Paul's, are not the miraculous gifts of an apostle of Christ. We can't do all of the things Paul could do because his gifts were different from ours. But yet, our gifts are important just as Paul's gifts were important. They are different, but they are from the same source. They come to us by grace and are therefore gifts we do not deserve. Paul says, if your gift is prophesying, prophesy in accordance with your faith. Usually when we read that word prophesy, we think about the spiritually gifted prophets of the Old Testament, you know, who had the miraculous ability to speak things of God. But the word prophet simply means one who is called to speak for God. And we don't have to have miraculous gifts to do that. God has given us in our day His Word. And we can speak the things of God's Word to other people. And in doing so, we are prophesying. We are not using any miraculous gift. We are using the tangible gift of God's Word. And our ability, again, given to us by grace, to tell other people what we have read in that word. Paul says, if your gift is prophesying, prophesy in accordance with your faith. If you have faith in Christ, you can tell somebody else what you believe and why. And in that, you can prophesy. You don't have to know everything there is to know in the scriptures. You don't have to be able to parse the difficult passages. Remember, even Peter said, you know, there's things in Paul's letters that are difficult to understand. But you can tell somebody else what you believe and why based on what you read in God's Word to make you believe that. That's a gift you have. And you can share that gift. You can tell others what you believe and why by the grace that God has given you. Amen. If your gift is serving, Paul says, then serve. You know, we sometimes look at that word serve as though that's demeaning. I don't want to serve anybody. But it is not demeaning to serve. The person who serves is in the greatest position at the table because they decide what everybody else gets. And if we doubt that that's true, consider Jesus' own words concerning himself. In Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28, he said, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And to give his life as a ransom for many." If the Son of God himself did not think it was demeaning to serve, then we ought not to think it is demeaning to serve. If he who was above all could get down on his knees and wash the feet of his apostles, then it is not demeaning for us to serve one another. If your gift is serving, then serve. If you have the ability to serve, use that gift. Understand that it's a gift that you have by God's grace and use it. The kind of service you might be able to render might not be the same as the service someone else can render. Remember, our gifts are different. And yet, all of us can serve somebody in some way, in some capacity. And if we can serve, if that is our gift, then we should use that gift. If your gift is teaching, then teach. And again, sometimes we'll say, "Well, I can't teach anybody. I'm not good at that." But you can always teach what you know. In the book of Titus, Paul told Titus to teach the older men. He told him to teach the older women. He told him to teach the younger men. And the younger men he was to teach by example. Not necessarily just to say things to them that would be of benefit, but to show them how to be. Show them what kind of person to be. Show them how to conduct themselves. And the older women were in the same way supposed to teach the younger women. Paul didn't say teach them to be Bible scholars. Though if you can do that, do that. But what did Paul say the older women should teach the younger women to do? How to be good wives. How to be good people. How to care for their house. some of those might be things you could teach somebody else because you have experience in that area. It's something you know about. You can always teach what you know, whether it's something you've learned or it's something in which you have experience. But whichever way it came to you, whether it's learning or experience, it's a gift. It is a gift by God's grace. And if it's a gift, then it's a gift you need to give. If you can teach, then teach. If your gift is to encourage, then give encouragement. Does that seem like a small gift? That might seem like, giving encouragement, that's not really much of a gift. Really? The apostles didn't see it that way. When they met a man named Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, and saw the way that he encouraged others, they gave him a new name. They called him Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. If encouragement is something that is so important that you would rename somebody because they were good at it, it must be pretty important. And when I look around the room, knowing some of you as I do, there are Barnabases in this room. There are sons and daughters of encouragement in this room, and I know that because over the years you have encouraged me, and I have seen you encourage one another. Do not think that's a small gift. That is a great and powerful gift. It is a gift that you have by God's grace to you. But if it's a gift you have, don't hold it back. Use it. If your gift is to encourage, then give encouragement. Don't sit back and say, I don't want to say anything to that person because, I'm afraid of how they might react. If you can encourage, encourage. Because that's a gift you have. And if you have the gift, then you should use it. If your gift is giving, then give generously. If you are blessed with material things, give generously from what you have. Now, that may not be all of us, but if it applies to you, if that shoe fits you, if that Jimmy Choo or that Louboutin fits you, then wear it. If you have the resources to give, then give generously. Don't be like that man that Jesus told the parable about in Luke chapter 12. You remember that story. Rich man had gained so much riches that he was going to have to tear down the barns that he had to store all of his riches and build new barns because he'd outgrown the barns that he had. And he said to himself, I'm just going to sit back now and take my ease because I'm so rich. What more could I need? And then one night God said to him, you fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you, and then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? He was rich in many things, but he was not rich in giving. He was not rich in sharing. And as he came to the end of his life, that was going to bite him. Don't be that person. You can't take it with you. I remember the story of the rich man who passed away, and all the people came to his funeral, and as they were leaving, the preacher was standing outside and shaking hands of the people as they left. One person said, you know, I know he was rich, brother. How much did he leave behind? And the preacher said he left all of it behind. And that's true of each one of us. Whether your riches are small or great, you're not taking any of it with you. So you might as well share it. You might as well be generous in the sharing. Because everything you have is not from yourself. Everything you have is by God's grace. You didn't deserve it. God gave it to you. And if it's been given to you, then give to others as generously as you've been given. If your gift is to lead, Paul says, do it diligently. Now, not everybody has that gift, as is true of all of these gifts. You know, our gifts are different. They don't all apply to each of us. Not everybody has the gift of leadership, but if you do have that gift, you're called to exercise it. This is one I've struggled with, because I have a gift that I don't like to exercise. I have the ability, but I don't like to be in a leadership position. I struggle with that. But I realize when I read these words in the scriptures, if you've been given a gift, you better use it and do it diligently. And that may be true of you as well. You may have that gift and say, well, I don't want to use it. Well, you don't have that choice. Remember Moses, when God spoke to Moses out of the burning bush and said to him, Moses, I want you to go and stand before the Pharaoh of Egypt and tell him to let my people go. And Moses said, hey, wait a minute, not me. I'm not a good talker. And what was God's response to Moses? Who made your mouth, Moses? Who made your mouth? If I've given you a mouth to speak, you better speak when I tell you to speak. I'll send your brother with you. He can back you up, but you better go. Moses didn't want that job, but Moses didn't have that choice. Moses had been given a gift by God's grace. And he was obligated to use that gift. And this is the one that really hit me when I read this passage during Brother Dick Craig's sermon. If your gift is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Notice that Paul doesn't just say, if your gift is to show mercy, show mercy. That's not what he says. He says, if your gift is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Forgiveness may not come easily to us sometimes. Sometimes when people have done or said things to really hurt us, it's hard to want to be forgiving. But what this passage of Scripture reminds us is not only do we have the obligation to show mercy, but we have to do it cheerfully. We cannot be, all right, I guess I'll forgive you, but I don't have to like it, and I don't have to like you. That is not the example. The example is, if your gift is to show mercy, then do it cheerfully. We have to show mercy because we have been shown mercy. Remember, again, a parable that Jesus told. The man who owed the great debt that he couldn't pay, and he went to the, to the king and said, I can't pay. And the king forgave him all of his debt. But he went out and found somebody who owed him a little bit of money. And he grabbed that person by the throat and said, I'm going to throw you in prison until you pay me what you owe. And when the king heard what that man had done, he said, throw him in prison and his family and let him sit there until he's paid every penny, because I showed him mercy and he could not show mercy to another. We have to remember, when we have the opportunity to be forgiving, how much we have been forgiven. How much God has forgiven us. I can't speak for you, but I can speak for me. I wouldn't want to have to read the record of all of the things God has had to forgive me for. I wouldn't want to read the record of all the things God has had to forgive me for in the last week, much less over the course of my lifetime.
I second that.
Amen, brother. But he's done it. He's forgiven it all by his grace and by his mercy. And if we don't think he did it cheerfully, again, consider the words of the Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, where he says of Christ, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising its shame. Going to the cross was not a happy thing, but Christ went to the cross with joy because he knew that in making that sacrifice, he was securing the mercy of God for you and for me. And if Christ could go to the cross and find joy in showing mercy, then we'd better be able to do the same when we have the opportunity to show mercy to someone who's done wrong against us. If your gift is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. These are just a few examples that Paul gives us of what our gifts might be. It's not an exhaustive list. We might see ourselves in some of these gifts and not in others. But again, remember, Paul said we have different gifts. We might not all possess all of these gifts, but we certainly possess some of them. And in different ways and in different measures. But whatever gifts you have, be grateful for them. And the way that you show that you're grateful for them is to use them. Again, if your gift is to share God's word with somebody else, do that. If your gift is to serve other people, then do that. If your gift is to teach what you know, whether it's by learning or by experience, then do that. If your gift is to encourage others, then be an encouragement. If your gift is to lead others, then lead them in the right way. If your gift is to show mercy, then do it cheerfully. Whatever gifts you've been given, understand that you didn't deserve a one of them. Nothing you have because you deserve it. You have it because God in his goodness has given it to you by his grace. And if it's been given to you, then give to others from what you've been given. And remember this, And certainly we do this at this time of year, but we ought to do it always. Remember that God gave the greatest of gifts, His only begotten Son, so that you could know His grace and His mercy. God gave the best that He had for us. How can we do less than give the best that we can from what God has given to each of us? Our gifts may be different, but whatever our gifts are, let's use them.